Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And again, what a blessing it's been just being in church this evening. But now is the time that we just got to put everything else out of our hearts and our minds and focus on what God has for us as we look into the very words that He has preserved for us, to be able to know the very mind and the thoughts of God. And so if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. We've been going through on Wednesday nights and studying on the life of the prophet Elijah. And what a tremendous study it's been. Elijah is one of the greatest of the prophets, one of the most powerful men that's ever lived and used by God. We find Elijah mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, and even in the book of Revelation, I believe. And so there has been much that we have already studied. Elijah, now coming to the end of his ministry, this last week we studied that he went before King Ahaziah and publicly pronounced God's judgment on the king, and right after that, that king died. And so just as Elijah had pronounced God's judgment, that's exactly what took place. Well, right after that, brings us now to chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. If you'll stand with me, we'll be reading and studying just the first six verses tonight, 2 Kings chapter 2, as we, again, coming to the end of the life of Elijah. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we again, Lord, just thank you for every opportunity that you bring into our lives that help us and enable us just to draw closer to you and to help us to understand more about your word. And I thank you for tonight and this privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for each one that took advantage of their opportunity to be in church and are here tonight. I just pray, God, that you would now work in our midst. I pray that you would empower the teaching of thy word once again. Speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, chapter 2, we find Elijah preparing for his departure. He will actually be taken on to heaven and in a whirlwind here in chapter 2, and we'll be studying that later on. But chapter 2, that's what's taken place. And every Bible character, I love Bible character series as we go through the Bible and we study every Bible character and we just break it down and just learn about their events of their lives that God's recorded for us so we might learn principles and truths from them. And I trust it's been a help and studying Bible characters. But at the end of every study on Bible characters, as all of us know, they die. And so we have to deal with that idea of death. And Elijah is somewhat the same thing here. We're coming to the end of his life. And we're going to find Elijah a little bit different than any other Bible characters that we've studied concerning his death. But nevertheless, we will be talking about and studying the death or the homegoing of Elijah. Now, it's never the desired subject to talk about. I know my kids Every time I mention anything about getting to the fourth quarter, you know, the last lap of my life or whatever it might be, sometimes I do it just to bug them. But, you know, the idea when they think of it, they say, Dad, I don't want to hear about it. I don't even want to think about the idea of you dying. And I think that would somewhat be the main census here tonight. You don't want to think about death. And yet, death is something that we face every day. People die every day. And it's just not of old age. Young people die every day. Teenagers die every day. Death is a part of life. It's the end of our physical lives on this earth. And so it is something that is not the desired subject to talk about, but we all know that it's imminent because of what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible tells us, God wants us to understand this. He says, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. But once to die, it means that every one of us, if we are born in this physical life, it's appointed at some point that you're going to die a physical death. That's just appointed by God. That's just God's design. That's God's plan. That everyone, and of course, it's been taking place now for several thousands of years, not millions and billions of years, but several thousand years of human history. Mankind has continued to live and die. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. And that means that we don't know when we're going to face death, for the most part. Those that died today, and no doubt there's several that have died today. Many of them woke up in the morning and had no idea that they were going, this would be the last day that they would live on this earth. But for many, today was the last day that they lived on this earth. Their lives come to an end. Their physical lives come to an end. And so it's never the desired subject, but it is a subject that we need to talk about. And we need to understand what the Bible says about it. Some give it some thought from time to time. As we face death and we start thinking about and we see, we maybe have to go to a family member's funeral or we hear of somebody else and you wonder how the family's going to make it without the individual, or you wonder just did they really prepare? Did they have life insurance? Is that going to put a financial burden? And because of that, sometimes we think about that and we might start making plans by making sure that our life insurance paid up. And making sure that we possibly even have somewhat of a living will so that there's not fussing and fighting over whatever monetary things that will have to be divided up amongst the families. It's always a good idea to have a living will to be able to know what your desires are whenever that time would come. We don't know. For the most part, we don't expect it, but yet we know, according to the Word of God, we know not what shall be on the morrow. And why do we kind of stray away from, and it's not the desired topic? And well, it's because of what death brings. We know that there's often suffering associated with dying. Many times in the hospitals and as they deal with families as they go through the dying process of a loved one, it was not meant to be something that was pretty. Can I tell you that death is ugly? Death is something that is connected to man's sin. It was never supposed to be that way. God did not create man to die. He created man to live. But there was a test, and there is a spiritual battle that we face in this physical world. And there is a power that's evil. And because of Satan himself and the temptation and the sin of man, then because of Adam's sin, it has passed sin and the sin nature down to everyone that's been born since. And so it was not intended to be something that was pretty. Not something that you intend to look forward to. Death is ugly. Going through the dying process when the body is shutting down is not a very pleasant thing. And so we don't like to talk about it, don't like to think about it, because we associate it with suffering. We associate it with sorrow. Because not going to be able to see that loved one again in this life. And the idea of our loss is something that brings sorrow when you lose a loved one. I've lost several family members, mothers, my mother and father, my brothers and sisters. I've lost several family members, and every time there has been a void. The closer you are to those that die, the greater the void will be. But it brings sorrow. Not only that, many times, especially if it's a teenager's death or someone that was unexpected, something happens, it seems like an accident, a car accident, or some type of a physical brain aneurysm or whatever it might be, it brings confusion. Facing death many times will bring confusion to a family. And why this person? This person was such a good person, and this other person over here, they're such an evil person. Why did God allow this person to die and this person to live? And so this idea of the subject of death, that brings confusion. Can I tell you, even for the believer, these things are true. Even if you're saved here tonight, if you're going to face death, even of a saved individual, there's still going to be some suffering. There's going to be some sorrow. There's going to be some confusion associated with death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is laying the groundwork for what God has for us from the life of Elijah. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Something the Lord wanted believers to know. I think it's a blessing when believers understand what God tells us about death, and understanding that it's going to be a time of suffering and a time of sorrow and a time of confusion. But God says something to us, those that are saved, those of us that know God, know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, that's what God says about the believer when they physically die, that they're just asleep, because their body's going to be resurrected, only the next time it will be a glorified body. And their spirit goes immediately, it leaves the physical body, but it goes immediately to be with the Lord. That's what some of the things that the Bible tells us. We immediately, the spirit, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And he says, first of all, if you're saved, you're going to be facing death. Some closer than others. Some deaths of some loved ones. Probably one of the most painful deaths to face would be the death of a child. And I think of Doris, and one of the comments that she said is, "It's not supposed to be this way. I'm not supposed to outlive my children." And the older we are allowed, the more years God gives us, the greater chance of outliving some of our own children. But he says, what I want you to understand, don't be ignorant of it. I want you to know everything that I have for you to know concerning this subject of death. Don't stray away from it, and don't research it, don't study it, and don't act like if you don't think about it, it's just going to go away and you'll never have to deal with it. It's a part of life. It's the end of a life that we have on this earth. And so the first thing he says, I don't want you to be, have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now that's powerful there. It doesn't say we're not going to sorrow, but it says you're not going to sorrow as those that don't know the truth, that they don't have the information and the knowledge that you have about eternal life, about heaven, about what happens to the spirit of the individual. And so he says, I want you need to have this information so that you will not sorrow as those that are lost, that have no hope. Because something I've given my children, God says, is this hope of everlasting life. Something that will help you to face death no matter who it is. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Means that they're still alive. If they're in Christ, they're with the Lord, and he's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now they're going to be coming with him, but the body, if you will, glorified body, is going to rise first, and we're all going to receive a glorified body at the same time. Those that have died before us, they have not received a glorified body. We'll all receive that at the very same time, but they have left the pain and suffering of this physical body, and they are in the presence of the Lord. That is something that we can have knowledge of that will bring to us this peace and comfort that comes from the knowledge of God, because it's the hope that he gives us. Okay, so we have this understanding. And so he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, I love this, there's not going to be any death, that ever be with the Lord. And he says about that, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so it is something that believers ought to communicate. It is something that we ought to be able to share. It is something that we ought to be able to encourage others who have lost loved ones or going through a dying process or whatever it might be associated in some way with this idea of death. There is hope. There is help. Amen. There is comfort to be found. So, as believers, as we go through this, because it's something that all people face, we can and should be comforted by this hope, which takes us back to Elijah. Go back with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah's departure is one that every believer needs to know about. Even though this is Old Testament, God does something for Elijah. If you remember, Elijah is not only recorded in the Old Testament, but there's much about him presented in the New Testament. And there's even that understanding that of the two witnesses during the tribulation period, that Elijah more than likely is going to be one of those two witnesses along with Moses. He was the two, Elijah and Moses was the two that was at the transfiguration of Christ, which if they were there in the New Testament, the transfiguration, you would think that they would be together as the two witnesses that are going to be there in the book of Revelation. We'll not get into that. It's not the time and place for that. But just to say that it's Elijah, that God has given us something different about his homegoing and about his departure from this life is something that every believer ought to know about, not be ignorant of, because there was something about his departure that ought to bring rejoicing. I don't think there was any sorrow associated with the departure of Elijah. Elisha, one of the closest one he was mentoring, there was nothing sorrowful about it. Those that he was ministering to at the end, we're going to be studying a little bit that later on, but the sons of the prophets, if you will, the college age young people that were preparing for full-time ministry, they were not going to find this something that was sorrowful. I mean, they're on the sidelines rejoicing, saying, "Whoo, look at that!" That's right, yeah. It's an amazing thing that takes place with Elijah. And if you will, what they see physically with Elijah being taken up in a whirlwind is actually something that if we had spiritual vision and can see the spirit leaving the physical body of the believer, we would say, "Whoo, look at that!" Like going up in a whirlwind. Because it's their spirit leaving their physical body, not to go to a devil's hell, but to go to be with the Lord God in heaven. Well, they're able to view this. They're able to view that. And God gives us this from Elijah. Amen. It's something that every believer needs to study and understand why God has recorded this for us. And it will help you when you're having to deal with this idea of death. Amen. Everybody follow me now. Hopefully now you're getting with me. It's not going to be a morbid type of a message tonight. It is just preparing you for why we need to look to this and rejoice over the knowledge that God gives us at Elijah's departure. Possibly the most important event that you can study concerning the life of Elijah. More important than him calling fire down from Mount Carmel. We find a lot of prophets being able to be used by God to pronounce judgment and see some miracle, amazing things taking place. We don't find any others being taken up in a whirlwind. And with those on the sidelines looking at it, saying, wow, can you believe we get to experience this? Yeah, no sorrow associated with it. So, the first thing I want to present to you, in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Elijah knew that. God had given Elijah insight into his homegoing. Now, if you look back with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 to 17, God let Elijah know that it was going to come. Can I tell you that I believe that that still happens today? And we're going to see a little in just a few minutes here that no doubt he allowed Paul to know that it was his time. And I believe he allowed the disciples, each one of the apostles, to realize this is it, and so I'm going to be suffering, but whatever I have to go through and being martyred for the cause of Christ, what's ahead is far greater. And I believe every one of them that was martyred for the cause of Christ had Elijah's whirlwind experience in their hearts and their minds, thinking, that's happening to me. That's what my spirit's going to do. It's going to be taken up to ever be with the Lord. And so we look here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 17. Now, if you remember this, we studied this. This is when Elijah got discouraged. And he was actually wanting to die. And God comforted him, and we found why he had this desire to die. And it wasn't just because of Jezebel wanting to put fear into him about her death or her killing him. It was a lot of things taking place there. But what I want you to see here is God recommissioned Elijah. And when he recommissioned Elijah at that point knew his time was very near. How do you know that? Because he was going to prepare someone to take his place. Look, if you will, there, 1 Kings 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. His final recommission, he was recommissioning him. No longer was he to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. Now, he would be brought back into that. But at this point, after his desire to die and God revives him, and now God's telling him, here's your recommission. This is what you're going to do. And then he says, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Obel-Mekolah, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now, when you know that you're getting ready somebody else to take your place, writing's on the wall. They're going to either do away with you, force you into retirement, move you on, whatever it might be. But there's no doubt when Elisha heard the recommission of God as far as what he was going to be doing here before his homegoing, he realized that Elisha now, very soon, will be taking my place as a prophet. He realized then that he was not going to die of old age. Yeah. But the thing of it was, is that God revealed it to him. And as we go back into our text here, you'll find that it was the Spirit of God that was telling Elijah where to go and what to do on the final day of his life on this earth. You see, chapter 2 is the final day. Elijah knew not only what it was coming, but on the day of his departure, he knew this was your final day on this planet, in a physical body. God revealed that to him. If you look over back with me now to 2 Timothy, because God reveals this to others, we find this throughout the scriptures, but one we can really identify with here would be the Apostle Paul. And let me read this to you in 2 Timothy chapter 4, very well-known passage of scripture, but this is what Paul says to Timothy. He said, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Before he would leave this world, he knew God had already told him, this day, the time is here. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. When your course is finished, it's over. Amen. When your course is finished on this life, when you've done everything God wants you to do, when you have no other purpose for God to keep you on this earth, why would he keep you here if there's no other purpose for you being here when heaven is what heaven is? And you might not understand it, and we don't have that full understanding what heaven's going to be like, but once you're there, there's no way you'd ever want to come back. Once you experience a glorified body, you never want to work your way back into a physical body. Amen. And so we find here, he says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them." You can all have this understanding that there is going to be rewards in heaven for being faithful to accomplishing what God would have you to accomplish in this life. Also, that love his appearing. That means you're serving God. Wow. So God let Elijah know that his departure was close. When God reveals that to you, and I've talked to many in my 36 years of ministry, talking to people on their deathbed, being with people in the last days of their life, I've had several tell me, "God let me know it was time. God let me know." There's just something that no matter what the doctors say, no matter what others say, God's let me know this. And I believe that. It's scriptural, Old Testament and New Testament. But something to understand, it's never revealed to bring about fear. Because when Paul wrote to Timothy and told him that in chapter 4, in this very same letter, the very first thing that Paul reveals to Timothy before he tells him his time, he's ready now, his time's here. He says in chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Can I tell you, if you're fearful of dying, God has not revealed to you that you're going to die. A lot of you out there, I'm glad about that. I mean, no, I'm... Because God does not reveal it to you to cause you to fear. God reveals it to you because there's something that he wants to use in your home going. Can I tell you one of the things that God used Elijah's life to impact not only Elisha, but for the generations to follow? I believe the most important event in the life of Elijah was going up, his departure in a whirlwind. Because that affects every one of us. Because death is imminent. We know not what a day may bring. But I'm going to face a physical death if the rapture does not take place beforehand. And so will you. And so Paul, in telling Timothy, "I know my time, I know you don't want me to leave, but can I tell you, I'm ready. My time's here." And remember what I wrote to you when I started the letter. God is not going to give us a spirit of fear. That's not of God. God does not reveal things to you so that you can fear. God reveals things to you so that you can be comforted and that you can be prepared to glorify God not only in your life, but in your death. Because God wants to use. Your life is so important to God. Can I tell you, your death is just as important. Your homegoing, your departure, your last testimony to those that's going to continue on doing the work. Your death is important to God. You're not going to die prematurely. God is going to, if you're a child of God, God controls life and death. He controls when He's going to take you home. You never have to worry about dying prematurely. If you're in God's will, then God is going to work through your life. And if it's your time to go, can I tell you that it's more than likely that God will give you a certain type of a dying grace that is a peace that nothing else can give you. So if you're fearful of it, it didn't come from God. Now, you might go ahead and die. I'm not saying you're not going to die. I'm not saying God tells everybody, but I'm telling you that God works in this way. Amen. I believe if you're faithfully serving Him and you want God to reveal it to you, I think there might be something there. But it's revealed to you for you to help prepare those who will remain. Go back with me. We find this in the life of Elijah. A powerful testimony while he lived, an even greater testimony as he departs this world. Yeah. Elijah would prepare Elisha. Elijah would not only prepare Elisha, but he would also prepare the sons of the prophets. You find it mentioned here, and everywhere he went on the final day of his life on this earth, he was directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And Elisha was there, and the sons of the prophets were there. It was more than likely Elijah that told the sons of the prophets that he would be taken in a whirlwind. Because if you read right there, it doesn't say, the three times that it mentions it, it doesn't say that the sons of the prophets went to Elijah and said, "Do you know that you're going to die today? And do you know that you're going to go up in a whirlwind?" No, they didn't go to Elijah. The Bible records that they went to Elisha. And they said, "Do you know that your master, the head who God's put over you, do you know he's going to leave you today?" And Elisha says, "I know it. Keep your peace." And we'll get into that next week. We'll find out what all that means, what that's all about. But the idea there, what I wanted to show you is that the sons of the prophet knew about it. Now, it could have been the Spirit of God spoke to them, but Elijah went to them to start with, and God had him there to prepare them for his departure. And I think it was one of those closed room meetings where he said, "Elisha, you stay outside." Because Elisha was not in there. Because the sons of the prophets, once they heard this, they said, "What? Elisha needs to know that." And they would go to him in every place that the Spirit of God led him. They would try to tell Elisha, "Do you know?" Where'd they get that information? I guarantee you. I think that Elijah knew. Elijah was preparing them. Now, he's preparing Elisha a little different way. We're going to study that. There's a difference in how he prepared Elisha and how he prepared the sons of the prophets. We'll study that next week. But the idea here tonight is God's using his departure. And he knew he was going to depart in a whirlwind. Wow. He was preparing Timothy as well. In his second Timothy, the very same letter that we've been reading that he told him, he said, "Hey, God's not going to give you the spirit of fear." Before he tells him he's going to be leaving, departing right then and there. That was his last message. If you look there to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to see something else as he prepared him for this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says this. Then thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace, he has grace for every situation of life. He has dying grace. Whether it's you that's getting ready to die, he can give you grace. If it's you're facing the death of a loved one, his grace is sufficient for our every need. And so he's preparing Timothy, and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He says, what I've done to you, what I have done in preparing you, I want you to continue to do that to others. Before you leave this world, make sure that you have done everything you can to prepare others to take your place. That you've prepared others for the time when they're going to depart this world. Wow. So our lives are to be lived helping others to be prepared. If you have the knowledge of, that God gives us, and he tells us, don't be ignorant of it, you have much to help others who face death. You have much to help others as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Matter of fact, our lives are to be lived helping others to be prepared. First of all, by knowing Jesus Christ and then knowing the truths that God has given to us concerning every area of life. But there's no time greater to be used of God when you're looking to prepare others than right before your passing. Use your homegoing as a leverage to help prepare your loved ones. If God's revealed to you, if you have that opportunity to know ahead of time, especially if you know it's your last day on this planet, last day in this physical body, use it. I think of Sandy Arnold, and Bob will attest to this. God had already told her. There at the last, she knew, and she was wanting to go and talking to me about some things with her family. And I told her that very same thing. I said, use it. Use it. That's a leverage you have right now. They're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and they're experiencing, going to experience a loss of their mother, going to experience a loss of their sister, the loss of a loved one. And I said, the most important thing you can leave them is to prepare them for their departure. And she did. She did. I think of Tracy Fox. Very young, in her early 40s, was a healthcare worker. She had stage 5 cancer. She didn't even know. Only just had a few months to live. I remember telling her, God's revealed to you, you're going to go to heaven. Don't have to fear that. Rejoice over that. But before you go, use it. Use your homegoing. Use your departure. Take advantage of it. And she did. Matter of fact, she had her brother promise to bring her mother, Sylvia, to church every Sunday. Because that's what she was doing before. And now she was going to pass. And if you know, right back over here, her brother, Sylvia's son, brings her every Sunday. And they sit right back here. Hey, if he would not have made that promise to a dying sister and who had a leverage on him and said, I'm going to heaven, I want you to be prepared. And the best way you can be prepared is to be in church. And so I want you to promise to me that you will continue to bring your mother, my mother, to church every Sunday. I want you to promise me that. And he promised her that, and ever since he has been faithful to bring her. See, some of those things I know as a pastor that many times people in the church don't understand all those things. But what a blessing to know that Tracy in heaven today, I believe in the cloud of witnesses, are rejoicing and cheering on the work of Christ on the earth today. And she sees how God honored and used her departure to impact her brother's life and her mother's life. And whoever else. Yeah. I got to close. Verses 1 through 11, and we'll finish and read down to verse 11 next week, but it records the events of Elijah's last day. There was a reason that the Spirit led him to go to Bethel. There was a reason right after that he led him to go to Jericho. There was a reason right after that he led him to go to Jordan River. Three very important places that he was able to get to on that last day. But the thought I want to end with tonight concerning this was that God directed every step that Elijah would take on the day of his departure. And as God led him, he followed. Psalms 37. We're done. Psalms 37. Can I tell you that God has a purpose for every step of our lives, but especially when it comes to our departure? God has a purpose for not only our lives, but our deaths, and how he wants to be glorified, not only by our living, but by our dying. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, every one of them. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Wow. One of the most important events for us to hold on to concerning the life of Elijah is his departure. What a blessing. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. No one wants to think about death. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to even imagine the possibility of it, but it's going to take place, and we have to understand some things that God has given to us about departing this life. And there's nothing that can give you more peace and comfort, whether you're the one that's dying or it's a loved one, and to understand the final steps of the life of Elijah and his departure from this world. Not going to give a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do on Wednesday night, but there's always an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight, is God being honored and glorified by your life or your living? Are you prepared to honor God by your departure? Are you preparing others, helping them to be prepared? I don't know just how God might have spoke to you tonight, but if you have something that you need to commit to, a decision to be made, there's no better place, no better time than right here and right now at this altar. Just get up out of your seat, bring it to the altar, and talk to God about it. Anybody else need to come tonight? Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for this lesson from the life of Elijah. And God, how powerful a message it is. Pray that you would help us to learn and have the knowledge of this, as well as the knowledge of everything that you give to us concerning a person's departure from this life. Strengthen us by it. Now I pray as we get ready to leave that you'd watch over us, get us home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour in Jesus' name.